Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Amen. Amen. Y'all can be seated just for a minute as we just begin our day of worship together. And as you are here, welcome. I know you took time out of your summer morning and your all the things going on. If you're joining us online, thank you for signing in to be with us. If you have ever seen these little community announcements, these are kind of what's going on in the life of the church in the next couple of weeks. And so encourage you to always pick one of those up. I do want to announce that next week for 4th through 6th graders, we're having a cooking camp. We're doing these little mini camps throughout the summer. And so there are only two spots left for that, hugely popular. And so that's going to happen here. And you can sign up for those online. You can see the announcement in the on the monitors outside. Also, basketball camp's coming up at the end of July. And that's a different age. That's 3rd through 5th graders. And so you can sign up for those as well. I want to say that also in 2 weeks, is it 3 weeks, Camp Who's We Are for 4th through 6th graders is happening in Sacramento, New Mexico. And so if you wanted to sign up for that as well, you can find that online. You can come see me or Levi or Ashley or a lot of us, and we can kind of show you how to do that. That'll be a great time. Nothing for the adults. You get a free summer off. Amen? Not true, but we will have some more things for y'all as well. Just today, as we continue in this idea of prayers that shake, that's going to be our teaching today. We're going to talk about visions and how those come from the Lord, what those look like, and how we encounter those, and whether you've had one or not, and how you start trying to recognize those in your own life. Because we do want a faith that shakes not only the earth, but that brings what goes on in heaven down to earth, that breaks into our world. I don't know about you, but I don't want a faith that is stale. I don't want a faith that is boring. I don't want a faith that is ineffective. I don't want a faith that doesn't make any changes in my life or your life. So that's why we're talking about these things, because we need prayers that shake all of eternity. So Lord God, as we are here today, I pray that our time together will not just shake the foundations of the earth, Father, but we would feel those personally. We would feel the shaking that's going on in heaven, Lord, at this very moment by the praise and the worship, the things that are going on in heaven as they break into our world. Lord, there are so many things happening. We want to make a difference. We want to be your vessels of change. We want to be your vessels of power. We want to be your vessels of transformation. Let it be so, all in the name of Christ. Amen. Y'all have a seat just as we begin to pray. It's really been on my heart this week, especially we've in our small group on Sunday morning, we've been talking about, and I want to say we've been studying Job, but I think the book of Job has been studying us as we have kind of delved into the meaning of so much of Job, which is just a hard book to understand. But one thing that really came out for me is the majesty that Job finally became aware of in his relationship to God. And in that awe and that wonder, just that the power of who God is, when he finally came face to face in such a way, we don't really know what that looks like, but when he said he saw the Lord, he was humbled. And what we really talked about this morning was how when we come to prayer, I'm just going to say this for myself, is sometimes it's a little too lax. It's a little too familiar. It's not in awe and wonder of who God is. It's more of walking into the coffee shop and having a conversation with somebody and patting them on the back. That's not God. Now, we do have a friend in Jesus, so don't hear me say you can't just go to the Lord in prayer and have a conversation, because he wants that too. But I think we miss the awe and wonder of God and really what... Levi just spoke about, that idea of his holiness is how we need to approach the throne. And so as we bow our heads, I just want you to think about that a little bit, and really just to give him the respect, the awe, the wonder, the majesty, the reverent fear of who God is in the midst of his grace, his love, and his mercy. Let's pray. Lord, we are gathered as your holy people right now, Lord. Whether right here in this room, or whether it's live online, or whether it's going to be a recorded version later, Father, when we gather in your holy name, your presence is with us. So, Lord, I want to recognize that presence. Lord, Scripture says when Isaiah had that vision of you and saw you, that your, and we've sang it, we've talked about it here, we've prayed through it, Lord, how your robe filled the temple. Lord, how great and grander your presence really is. Not in an arrogant way, because all glory and honor is yours, Father Almighty. Lord, it's due to you. So, Lord, as we come to you this morning, I pray that we would just come to you not timidly, but boldly, knowing that we are your children, that you do call us to you. But, Father, with that respect, with that understanding of your glory and your power and your majesty, as we come to you with our lives, Lord, not with any particular need, Father, with not any particular request just yet, but Father, we come just to bow before you and to love on you and to give you, as Levi eloquently said, Lord, just give you worship, Lord, as we bow before you and say in our heart and in our mind, Lord, you are holy, 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 holy are you, Lord God Almighty, Lord, King of heaven and earth. And then, Lord, as you reach to us, Lord, and maybe just gently with your power, you lift our face to look upon yours. And look at us with your grace. Look at us with your joy. Look at us with your love and your care, your mercy towards us. And ask what we need, what we want, what we desire. And Lord, and we can just offer that to you. Lord, already knowing what our lives are in need of, Lord, you desire that conversation. You desire that relationship. Whether we are young or whether we are mature, whether we are a child or whether we are an adult, whether we're in a long, long relationship with you, or Father, whether we are just starting this relationship with you. Lord, we get to all be in the same place around the throne. And so, Lord, hear us, and I'm so thankful that you do. But Lord, I pray that we would be listening to you in your response. Lord, that we would, Lord, just be in anticipation of what you were going to say back to us. Lord, how you were going to direct us, the way that you were going to show us, the visions that you may give to us to live out this life. Lord, not just to affect us, but Lord, to affect all those around us. Lord, we are not in this alone. Father, we are in this together. So, Lord, we are the body of Christ. I pray that we would respond that way, and we would show the world who you are to draw people closer to you, to know the joy that we know. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you, all in the name of Christ. And all the people said, amen, amen. If you might be able to relate to this, at some point in life, I don't know when it happens, but it just suddenly happens. There's no warning, there's no invitation, there's no notice, but at some point you reach the age where you can just actually just sleep wrong. Amen? Yeah. I don't know what's happened to me. I was just living my life on Thursday or Friday and the week before that, and my back hurts so bad today and yesterday. I don't know what's going on. So I think I was trying to be more of a, it's actually Derek's fault. He invited me over and said I could use a swimming pool, and suddenly I thought I was 14 again, and I'm not. And so I think that's probably where the problem happened, is trying to do tricks that I probably should have never been doing in the first place. Today, I want to make a quick appeal, an announcement. We did this for Perryton. We want to do this for Matador, but with the storms, the tornado, and everything in Matador this past week, Roger Vincent, raise your hand right there, Roger. Roger and Doris there from the thriving metropolis of Matador. They're kind of in that area, in that world, and so bless them. You're like, why are they at church? Because let me tell you, when y'all gripe about driving 4 or 5 blocks to get to church, they're commuting from Matador. Anybody got any more excuses? I'm just asking, right? And so if you have any questions about what you can do for Matador, you can see Roger. But the one thing he said is they don't need any more water right now. They don't need any more clothing, but you can make donations to Happy State Bank for Matador. And also I know our area of Lubbock, we're talking about what we can do later for Matador, for missions, like us actually show up and do things. So we'll make those announcements a little bit later. And that's for Perryton too. And I know I've already said that once, but I want to say it again. Let's just pray for them right now. Lord, I know that as we come before you this morning, we sometimes just have a really limited scope of what life is around us. But Father, let us not forget our brothers and sisters around not just our community, but around the world. Father, where there are tornadoes, where there are wars, where there are famine, where there are wildfires, Father, where there are shootings, Father, where there is hurt and heartache in health, Father, in relationships. Lord, there is just every possible crisis of humanity happening in the world in this very moment with the loss of life and loved ones. And so, Lord, let us remember them, Lord, not just in word, but also in deed, Father, that we would reach out and that we would be your hands and feet in the world. And for some of us, that might our only opportunity, because of our own limitations, might be just a financial donation. Lord, use that for your glory and for their good. Father, and it may be we can't do anything financially, but we can catch a ride with somebody when it's time, and we can go and be physical hands of labor. Lord, you just use us. And Father, let them know that they are not alone. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want the sermon notes today, text that, and you can get those as always. And I always say, encourage you to do so. There's so much more there. But I do want to talk about, again, prayers that shake and what that really means in our lives when it comes to visions that God gives us. Now, let me just say, I'm going to use the plural meaning and a very inclusive meaning. We're not all going to get visions, okay? It's not going to happen to everybody. God speaks to all of us differently in different ways. I hope he does that with you and for you. And if he does, I encourage you to share that and to share that with me, but to share that with others and people that are in your circles of influence, because visions from God really are his communication in a real way, in a way that helps you move forward physically in your relationship and in your faith. Now listen, this is different than casting a vision, okay? This is not me saying we need to be a certain church and we need to have certain outreach and we need to live in a certain way and this is how we want to grow. That's casting a vision. This is a physical vision that God gives you in a dream or in your prayer time, something that happens mentally inside of you. And so I want to read from Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8 as we get started, and then we'll go down through a couple of little sections there as we go. And so while starting in verse 1, it says, "At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. And he and all of his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, 'Cornelius!' Cornelius stared at him in fear. And he said, 'What is it, Lord?' An angel answered, 'Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God.'" Remember what we said last week. What are the bowls in heaven? What are they full of around the throne of God? They are full of your prayers, and they burn as an incense. They become the atmosphere of God. Your prayers have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa, that's a city, to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened, and he sent them to Joppa." So here we are. I can argue just quickly, if he was a devout Christian at the time, whether they were called a Christian or not is irrelevant, but if he was a devout follower of God, and if he was in the traditional setting, then he was praying 3 times a day, and that was usually at 9, at noon, and at 3 p.m. It says at 3 p.m. he had a vision, so maybe he was in prayer, maybe he was just in study, maybe, I don't know really what he was doing, it doesn't tell us, but I'm just saying it could have been in a prayer and it could have been a response to his prayer life. What I want to say is it was a response to his constant communication to God. And so when we talk about these visions and we talk about how God communicates to us, one of the important things is how often are you in communication with God? Okay? And so this idea, as we go on to hear from Peter now, and what he sees and what happens to him, it really is, again, in response to his relationship to God. And so down in Acts 10, 9 through 16, "About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being lowered down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' 'Surely not, Lord,' Peter replied. 'I've never eaten anything impure or unclean.' The voice spoke to him a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back up to heaven. So on a side note, here we are. Here's Peter. Was he praying about food? Was he wanting to have a conversation about this idea of cleanliness rituals, all that? Doesn't seem to be, but God wanted to make it clear to him that there was something new happening in the world. There was something new happening in the Jewish tradition. There was something new that he wanted to talk to him about, and he gave him a vision. And so I'm not going to get into that, but this idea of how God speaks to us means we really do have to be in communication with him. We have to be open to what he has to say. We have to be ready for those visions. And so the first thing I want us to look at in this idea of vision, opportunity, and obedience, that's what we're going to find in both of these visions. They had a vision, there was an opportunity that was presented, and then they had obedience to what they knew God was calling them to do. All that leads to one thing. It leads to transformation. And transformation, we can turn the equation around and say transformation can equal vision, opportunity, and obedience. And you can go with a grand vision of who Christ is, and then we have opportunities and we have obedience, or specific visions that I really do hope God gives two of you or three of you or however many, and then you have opportunity and then you show some obedience. Because here's what I want to say. We don't need to formulate visions. You never formulate faith, okay? It's not about doing one thing and then adding another and then another and another for a certain outcome. It's about being obedient to all things in Christ, and then there comes whatever God does, whatever His calling is. I so wish my personality is this. I would love to get up and do my devotional. I would love to have prayer time, maybe a little study time, maybe go visit a few people, have some prayer, and then know that maybe at 3:15 in the afternoon that God is going to show up and He's going to tell me something. How many of you would sign up for that every day? Amen? Yes. Would love for that to happen. Now, how many of you and your personalities just really struggle with, okay, I'm going to have this conversation, this relationship, I'm going to do all of these things, I'm going to read, I'm going to study, I'm going to pray, I'm going to, you know, be obedient, and then I'm going to look for where God is working and stop and do everything I can to listen to Him and see how He's moving. Drives me insane. That's my personality. I want things in columns and in buckets and in squares. I want things to add up. I want everything to be square with the world, but that's not the way God works. That's not the way God works. But as we see Him work, He works way better than how I could process Him and formulate that. Visions, listen to some of these things I just wrote down to give you an idea. Visions can be a thought or something that is not yet fully formed in your faith, and that it starts growing as you study it. It starts growing as you pray through it. A vision can be mental pictures. Visions can be understandings and ideas that really maybe come in dreams, maybe come in prayer times, maybe come as somebody's talking to you or you're studying a particular lesson. Visions can be through a single word and then built on over time. Okay, and a vision may happen really quickly like we read here, or it may start and it may be added to. I'm going to encourage you here. It could be over days, it could be over weeks, it could be over decades. That's why it's important that we remember. They might show you some things from the past, but bigger. That's why we need God in the midst of those. Visions are usually beyond our own ability to carry them out. We need that Holy Spirit relationship to carry out a vision, to understand a vision, to see a vision. Okay, and then visions are usually, I don't say this categorically, but I believe in Scripture that visions are usually very directive and not overly broad. Okay? And why is that? Because when God leaves everything open to interpretation to Matt Wolfington, I mess that up, and you can agree or disagree with that, right? And so He wants me to have very specific things I need to do rather than this general overall vision and a broad overview. So the last thing here is a vision requires a response, okay? It requires this obedience. It requires to this opportunity, and it requires a response. We have to do something with our vision. We have to do something with what God has given us. Otherwise, it just sits there and it dies. Now, let me say this. I wonder if you really are hoping right now that you get a vision from God. Are you saying, I want to be one of these people that's how God communicates with? Because if you're saying that, then here's what I know about myself. I know that if my whatever stage I am in life, if I'm not in a place to be receptive, I don't think God really is going to talk to me. If I'm not in a place to use what God is going to give me for His resources, I don't think God's going to give those to me. And so it's just like with all of our children, right? You are one of God's children. We have children. Do you really want to talk to your kids when you know they're not going to listen to you? No. Now then, do we talk to our kids when they're not listening? Sure we do. Are they going to do anything with it? Maybe or maybe not at the moment, but maybe later. And so I think that God is the same with us. I have to be in a place to be really receptive, to be really open and really willing to do what He's asking me to do, or why else, this is the way I see it, why else is He going to waste time with me in that moment? not waste time with me in relationship, but if he's going to give Cornelius this vision and Cornelius is not going to do anything with it, then why would he do it? If he's going to give Peter this vision, why would he do it if he knows Peter's not going to do anything with it? See, it's all about who we are in Christ. And let me say this about visions, okay? I think this is super important, and so much so that I want to put it up here. I think I put it up here. Yeah. Visions are sent to you. I don't think that you can seek out a vision. That's not the way Scripture shows us. That's not the way it seems to be anywhere. Is it just normally happens? It's that God sends them to us. Is that my breath or is that something going on? Is that just me? Okay, I can hear it, but maybe nobody else can. So I say, Lord, give me a vision. I don't think that's the way it works. I think it's me in relationship and conversation with him, and if he wants to do it that way with me, then that's how it happens. Because in both of these situations, and in several others, most others, it's not anybody in just sitting before the throne begging God to show them something, even though it does happen, but most usually it's in a conversation. Most usually it's in that response from God, and I've said enough about that. So Peter didn't know he needed a vision. Cornelius didn't know he needed a vision. They were just, they were in their prayer time. Things were going on. It wasn't that they tried harder than somebody else. It's just the way it happened. And so when you think that maybe you're missing the mark because you didn't get a vision, don't do that. Maybe you are going to get it something in a way that maybe I don't. You have different gifts. You have different talents. So I don't want you to hear that because you're not getting these, it's not because you're godly. It's just because maybe you don't have what it takes for God to use a vision in your life. Let's go down to Acts 19 or 10, verse 19 through 26. While Peter was still reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. But get up and go downstairs and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself." Peter went down to the men and said, "Behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come?" They said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken by the entire nation of Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you and to come to his house and hear a message for you." So he invited them in and gave them lodging. Now on the next day, he got ready and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. On the following day, he entered Caesarea, and now Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter helped him up, saying, "Stand up, I am too just a man." Now then, a few things I want to point out. This is my sense of humor in Scripture, is he said Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. No pressure on Peter, right? I mean, Cornelius had this vision, and he knew God had told him to do these things, and when he sent for Peter, he has what I believe are great expectations of what God is going to do. Great expectations, so much so that he invites his friends. He invites relatives. He said, "Man, God's about to do something. You've got to be here when he does it. I want you to be a part of this." I wonder, remember we said about 3 weeks ago about our expectations, unspoken expectations, or what? Unmet expectations. Man, he's building up God. He's building up what God is doing in his life, so much so that he wants other people to see. Are those your expectations for God? Or have you dwindled him down to this? Right? Do you remember Dallas? One of his illustrations one day about how we see the throne of God, and Dallas put a little bitty dollhouse chair up here. I mean, when we shrink God down to a manageable size, guess what we're going to get? We're going to get manageable expectations. That's not what Cornelius did. He said, "No." He goes, "I don't know what's about to happen, but I want everybody to come and look, so I think we need to increase our expectations." And so here is God at work in the middle of their circumstances. Cornelius saying, all this is happening, and here's what's going on in my life, and I want you to look, I want you to see, but what do you do with your circumstances? How do you see God at work in your circumstances? Here's what I think we do. I think we look at our circumstances, and we question God. Amen? Here's what's going on in my life, Lord. Why is this happening to me? Why did this happen? Why did this, I had to drive around to go do something after the hailstorm on Friday night. Anybody have a skylight that was busted out? I don't see any hands. Anybody have a windshield busted out? I know there's a few. Anybody get a few dings on your car? Anybody get the roofer companies automatically coming by on Saturday morning and knocking on your door? Right? I mean, all the different things. Anybody see all that hitting your house and just whatever, and you go, oh my gosh, why is this happening? Can you imagine in Matador, in Perryton, in Kansas, in all the other places? I mean, all the whatever's happened. But yet, and when we say that, we question God, why are you doing this? See, I think, and it's not to minimize it, it's not logistics, it's not semantics, it's not just words. It's not, God, why are you doing this? It's, God, what are you doing in this? See, instead of questioning God, let's question the circumstances. Let's say, what is happening here, and how do I need to be responding? What is going on in my life, and how do I need to be involved in this in my life to be able to let God be revealed and to know what God is doing? Why is not the question we should be asking about God, but it's about our circumstances. Let's put ourselves into it with a godly vision. Let's put ourselves into it as we would want to be obedient. Whatever's going on in your life, search the circumstances for how the Lord is moving. Not search the Lord for why the circumstances are happening. Okay? So, Acts 10, 34, 38. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing that has happened throughout Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, he's realizing that in his vision, it was not just about him. The vision that Peter had, the vision that Cornelius had, was for those two groups of people, Gentiles, Cornelius, and Peter, a Jew, right? Jesus said the gospel is for the Jews and the Gentiles. It's not just for a chosen people. Everybody is chosen. This was not just for these two men. It was for everybody to start understanding this. And so when Peter came into the house, he realized, wow, he goes, people not like me really can understand Jesus. People that are not of the chosen church, right? They can really understand who God is. They can understand the principles. They can understand the majesty. They can understand the miracles. They can understand the grace, right? It's not just about a certain denomination. It's not about a certain race. It's not about a certain whatever. It's about everybody. And see, and he's realizing this vision. Cornelius thought it was just going to be for him, but it wasn't. It was for so many more. Peter thought this vision was just going to be about him, but yet in his understanding, he could preach differently. He could preach to a whole different set of people. See, this is where obedience, right? When they just said, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to do it. How that obedience finally led to that transformation. See, obedience is what we need. I think that's where I'm lacking. I think that's where you are lacking. No offense. I think we're not as obedient as we need to be, because we don't realize the supernatural understanding that God has for everything that He's asking us to do. I just see my little corner of the world. I just see the one or two steps in front of me, and so I don't know how it's going to play out, and so I don't move forward in that. I sit back, and I'm timid, I'm reserved, but yet He brings more. And then listen to this, this idea of transformation. This is verse 44. While Peter was still speaking, remember, they had a vision, the circumstances around their lives, they had opportunity to respond, they did what God was calling them to do, and while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. See, if Cornelius hadn't invited his friends, if Cornelius hadn't invited his family, if Peter hadn't have brought some friends with him, if those soldiers hadn't have been there, if those servants hadn't have been there, they would have missed out on what God had in store. And it was all because two men were obedient. It's all because we are obedient. And then look, and then Peter, he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked him to stay. See, here's where I don't think we understand obedience. Because for Peter to stay, this was still Jews and Gentiles. There was still Mosaic law. There was still all the religious leaders that were trying to, the Sanhedrin, right? All the different Jewish principles that had to be lived upon. There was still all the law that hadn't been done away with. So for Peter to stay in this house, he broke so many laws. He broke so many rules. He broke so many expectations because a Jew was staying in the house of a Gentile. And Peter, before that, when he said he invited them in and fed them and let them spend the night before they started the journey, he broke so many rules. See, we don't understand that the little things that we do can bring great transformation. It's not about breaking the rules. It's about breaking out of our shells. It's about breaking out of our traditions. It's about what God wants us to do. And I think, and I don't know how to change this right now. I don't know what this really means. But like this right here, right now, in this room, watching online, we come, we have a song, we have a greeting, we have a couple of songs we worship to, we pray, we have a message, our kids are getting some teaching, we pray, and we leave. I don't know what God wants us to do with that, but I think that in itself is one of the molds that I wonder if we need to change. Boy, and some of y'all are going, great, we're going to have to look for another church. I don't know what it means. But sometimes I feel we get so caught up in our routine. We get so caught up in our traditions. We get so caught up in just whatever it is in your own life. Forget about church. Forget about worship here. Is we miss God. And if Peter hadn't have gotten off that roof, if Cornelius hadn't have listened to God, where would we be today? I don't know. But I don't think we would be where we are right now. Here's my personal insight. I found that if I don't follow the first set of directions, I'm not going to get the next set. And here's the way I think we all operate. We want the vision, right? We really want God to show us. We want God to teach us, and we want Christ to come, and we want the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. But usually, this is the way it is for me. I'm just really honest here. Usually that first step, gosh, it's really boring, and it's really elementary, and it's really like, I know how to do that, and I know what that feels like, and I know what that is. Why do I have to do that? Can we skip step 2, 3, and 4? I really want to get to step 5 through 8 and 9 and 10. Are y'all with me? Am I the only one? Right, but yet, I'm not ever going to get steps 8, 9, and 10 until I do 2 through 7. Until I take that first step, until I bow before the Lord, I spend time with Him and I ask Him, Lord, show me where you want me to go. Show me what you want to do. It might come in a physical vision. It might come in another way. But we have to take those steps. We have to do what God calls us to do, whether it seems elementary or not. I mean, all the Lord said to Peter was, go downstairs and talk to those guys. How many of you, if you were on the roof praying right now, and you heard somebody knocking on the door at church, but you were having a vision from God, and you were in great conversation with God, and you heard a knock at your front door, how many of you would end that prayer and go talk to whoever's at your door? Not me. Man, I'm on the mountain, I'm in a high and holy place, I've got a vision, things are going good, and God says, go talk to this guy. I'm like, no, you and I are having a great conversation, Lord, let's just stay right here. I think there's a scripture about that, right? Let us build the temple, let us have this remembrance, let's don't ever leave here, this feels so good. And yet Jesus says, we can't stay here, we have to go back to where the people are. See, that's the obedience that I think we have to get into. Is to go where God is leading us, where the people are. And I don't know who the people are in your life. I don't know. Might be a neighbor, might be a family member, might be a friend, might be a frenemy, might be an enemy, might be a stranger, might be your children, might be your spouse, it may be someone in this room, might be your pastor. I don't know. But God's calling us in obedience to go to somebody. And to start having those conversations. God is calling us in obedience to go and do in some way. And it might be with somebody, it might be something. I don't know what it is in your life, but you're never going to know until you get ready for transformation, until you have that vision. It might be what we're talking about here today, and it might be something a little different. But when you have it, start looking at your circumstances. How can I be obedient in what's going on? And then when you figure it out, you obey and you go and do. I think that's where we're at in life. I think that's where you're at in your relationships. I think that's where you're at in your job. I think that's where you're at in your faith. I don't ever take any of this for granted when things just start happening in sermon series, when things starts happening in my study times. I have never read, first of all, until just recently, I'd never read about, I knew about the bowls around God's throne. I actually have a picture of that somebody drew, somebody's vision of what that looks like, right? But I'd never, not only, but that, I had never read that our the bowls are filled with our prayers and an incense. And that I'd never realized in reading this story about Cornelius that I've read and I've read and I've read. I did a whole seminary course, right? I did a whole class just on this particular book, and I never saw where the Lord said, your prayers are like a memorial offering rising up to God until this week. I don't take that as just pure happenstance for you or for me. I think that's God telling us how important our prayers are, how important our time with Him is, how important it is that we look for where He's moving and we follow Him. That's your call this week. Look for Him and follow as you pray. And let's do that right now. Lord, for us right here in this moment in time, I truly believe, and boy, for Matt Wolfington, it is a scary prayer. It really is. Because I never know what that next step is. I don't know what you're calling me to. I don't know what you're calling us to as a church. I don't know what you're calling each individual to. Each married couple, parents, children, whatever profession we're in. Lord, there's so many ways in which we are called to be your disciples and be leaders. And Lord, I'm really comfortable where I'm at in life right now. And so, Lord, my prayer for myself and for all of us, Lord, is that we need to hear from you in a real and powerful way. Lord, thank you that you allow us to come right to your throne. Lord, where your robe fills the temple. There's no way for us to get to you without walking on your robe. How powerful is that? There's no way to get to you without being surrounded by those that worship 24/7, without being in the presence of that atmosphere that you breathe, or the atmosphere of the worship, the atmosphere of the incense of our prayers that are like a sacrifice for you. So Lord, as we come, let me come understanding your power and your majesty. But Lord, also that we don't just get to come and just revel in it. There comes a responsibility with it, and that is to listen to you, and that is to follow, that is to go and be sent. Lord, I want us to be the most powerful, passionate disciples in all of Lubbock, Texas. Teach us how to do that. Give us a heart, a desire to want to be that. To really be who you've called us to be. In obedience and in grace and in power. In Jesus' name I pray. If you really want that, if you just want to start that journey, let's just take 10 seconds for you to just mentally offer that prayer up to the Lord right now. Lord, we love you. And with that, we say amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, go from this place today knowing that you have risen from the ashes because we are raised with Christ. And in that, look for where he's working. Look for the opportunities and be obedient to follow him and to share his love. In Jesus' name, all the people said, amen. Amen. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.